podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Same Old Arsenal podcast. I hope you're all doing very, very well. Coming to you at the unusually early time today of 1 p.m. We thought we'd mix it up. Good to keep you guys on your toes. And I'm very delighted to be doing my first podcast with the one and only Melvin Marks. Melvin, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, fine, thanks. We're looking forward to this.
Yeah, it should be a good one. Always makes it a bit easier when Arsenal get a good win away from home. And I have to say, yesterday going into the game, I felt like it was going to be a bit of a sticky one. Sevilla away, okay, they've not had the best form in the league, but they've just drawn at home to Real Madrid. Really tricky place to go. We know what their record, particularly in the Europa League, is like. We knew their fans were going to be up for it. But we've come away with a win, Melv. Fantastic stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. It was take it every day. I mean, really, heart of hearts, you might have thought, well, a draw away is not the worst result in the world. So to go away, to win in any game in Europe away is fantastic in the Champions League. So, yeah, we'll take that. And there were some good points, not so good points as well from yesterday's performance.
Yeah, I mean, going into the game, what were your initial feelings? Because we had that draw against Chelsea, where I think we all had question marks over the result, over the performance rather than the results. Great comeback. And in the end, I was really pleased with the point that we managed to salvage from that game. But there's been a few not so exciting performances this season, which I think have left us with a few question marks, particularly going into games against the likes of Sevilla. I mean, we saw in the game against Lons where, you know, we let them into the game. They dominated us at times and they came away with the win. This really felt like the sort of game where it could follow a similar pattern. Fortunately, we didn't let it fall into that pattern. But just going into the game, what were your initial thoughts?
Well, the worry with big football, a lot of it, it's about momentum, isn't it? And against Chelsea, we didn't have any momentum at all. If you'd have read the result, you wouldn't have known how poorly we did, how poorly we played. So I was worried that we'll have that hangover from the Chelsea game. I know we got the result, but players know they didn't play well as a team or individually. So that was my big worry. We go away from home, hostile crowd, and the doubts start appearing in their mind. And hope and gladly, it never happened.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a very strong lineup that Arteta played, wasn't it? I expected us to go strong because we had to win this game, I think. You know, like, actually, you say a draw wouldn't have been the worst result in the world. I don't think it would have been. But I think given the poor result against Lons, just re-establishing a bit of authority in the group to get a win, I think was vital. And if you just look at the group standings now, it looks very healthy for us. So fortunately, we did manage to get that result. But I mean, do you think it was a bit of a risk playing such a strong team? I mean, only really one change from the weekend. We saw Tomiyasu come in for Zinchenko, which I think was the right call. But aside from that, pretty much full-strength Arsenal side.
He's got to play his full-strength team away in Europe in the Champions League. He got stick, and rightly so, a couple of seasons ago by letting an FA Cup game go. We lost, I think, Southampton, was it, when he played a much weakened team. If he had played a weakened team last night and we'd have got a draw, it was bad for you, not for me, or got beat, he'd have been slaughtered, and rightly so, in my opinion. No, he had to go with his full-strength team. You know, we've got a squad. If there was problems, if we had injuries, I know the Jesus thing, I don't know how bad, hopefully it's not as bad as it seemed, but if we had injuries last night, we've got people to come in on most of the positions for Saturday. So no, he had to play strongest. It's not as if we're playing away to Man City on Saturday, is it?
No, and I mean, you would say, we're going to talk about Sheffield United later on in the podcast, but if there was a game coming up that you would feel where you could maybe have a little bit of breathing space, it's Sheffield United at home. Again, no disrespect to Sheffield United, but you feel like you could bring in maybe a Trossard, potentially an Nketiah into that game and not suffer too much. But again, you can't take any game for granted in the Premier League. We've seen that many a time this season already. But going into this game, strong lineup, and I think a fairly strong start from Arsenal. I thought it was going to be a very turbulent first half, and it wasn't straightforward. You know, it was quite difficult to break Sevilla down, but I felt like we were cutting through them at times and we just weren't able to get the ball in the back of the net. I saw a bit of a mixed reaction on social media regarding that first half performance. Some saying we kind of picked up where we left off against Chelsea. Other people saying that it was very reminiscent of the first half against Chelsea. I don't know. For me, I thought the pressing game was very good. I thought we harried them pretty well. And I thought we were creating opportunities. We just weren't able to get that killer finish. And it wasn't too long into the game where we saw Martinelli had that opportunity one-on-one, which was a good save by the keeper. Arguably could have done better with the finish. But I thought it was pretty positive in that first 45 minutes.
The first 45 minutes, actually, James, reminded me of the first 45 minutes with Lons, where we had a lot of the ball. We were pressing them. We managed to get a goal early on. And a lapse allowed them back in the game. But I thought, apart from that, when we that mistake we made against Lons, we were in control. And I thought the same was last night in the first half.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got that goal, just at the right time, didn't we? I mean, first of all, got to say, what an unbelievable piece of play from Gabriel Jesus. To do that spin and then that first time pass, just to know that Martinelli is going to be making that run. I mean, you've got to credit Jesus for that. You've got to credit Martinelli for making that instinctive run. But then he just took it so calmly, didn't he? I mean, we've seen players like Lacazette in the past really mess up those sort of opportunities, but he didn't really have to do much work, did he? Just basically ran around the keeper, put it into the back of the net, and can't ask for a better time to score, can you?
Well, no, of course not. But the funny thing is, if you look how I saw it, is that he didn't even sprint, Martinelli. He got the ball and he didn't seem to go into third and fourth gear. He had the confidence to know that they're not going to catch him, excuse me, even at half speed. And his confidence and it was lovely to see. And Jesus, that was brilliant, absolutely world class. But there is a but. I don't think Jesus, before he did that, was having a particularly good game.
It's interesting you say that, because I don't think he played particularly well against Chelsea. I thought he was actually poor in that game. I mean, there were a number of players that we can isolate from the game at Stamford Bridge, but he was one that I just thought wasn't quite at it. But for him to arguably have a fairly average or mixed opening first half, to then get that assist and then to start the second half with a brilliant goal as well, and then I think from then on had a pretty good performance.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one guy we need fit, firing at his best if we're to do anything this season. How big of a confidence boost do you think that was for him to not only get the assist, a brilliant assist, but then a world-class goal as well?
Oh, big time. And also, some of the other football he played in the first 20 minutes of the second half, he was running rings around them. They couldn't get near him. He was like the Jesus of old. He's like, forget about his injuries and all that. No, he's back now. This is it. Jesus is going to kick on now, and hopefully that'll be the case. I don't see why not. Hopefully he'll be back for Saturday. You know, there was a couple of things in the press that he could be all right. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure that's nothing more than a precaution, to be honest. For me, when I saw him go off, it just kind of felt like he went down because he lost the ball in a slightly awkward area of the pitch and just kind of wanted to hold his hands up and say, look, guys, look, I was injured. But maybe that's just my stupid take on it. But we started that second half really well, I thought. The pressing game was really, really good. We had a very good opportunity to score fairly on in that second half. And we just looked like, we were barraging them chance after chance after chance. They just couldn't get the ball out of their own half. And we did eventually get the breakthrough. Again, brilliant work by Gabriel Jesus. He seems to only score world-class goals. It's those ones against the likes of Tottenham from 2 yards out that he struggles with. But you've got to say, amazing finish, brilliant goal from, arguably the man of the match on the evening. And it's 2-0, Melv. And we're cruising at that point in the game. And it's going a hell of a lot better than I ever anticipated it would. But, like you said before, there is a big but. We allow Sevilla into the game, not too long at all after scoring, which seems to have been a real problem for us. Just completely switch off on a corner. I think it was it Jesus that was marking his man? Total mismatch. The Sevilla player gets it in the back of the net. Fantastic header. But again, just from a very brief lapse in concentration, we've completely opened the game up again. And from that point on, it was very cagey, wasn't it? It was kind of one-way traffic.
It was. I mean, I can't understand what's happened, because we up to the last season, our record at corners was second to none. And now every time a team gets a corner against us, you're going, oh my God, what's going on? I mean, you say lack concentration. Surely when there's a corner being taken, you should concentrate. There's no excuse for it. It's not as if you're playing a game of football and you forget to pick up a man runs off you or something. There's a corner. You've got a specific job to do. Do it. There's no excuse. And it's very, very frustrating when that happens. I mean, yeah, it was like we've got the cigars out when the second goal went in. And we before we lit them, we've got our backs against the wall. Worse, we're actually under more pressure than obviously when it was 1-0. It really turned it. And really, we could have got a draw out of the got a draw for that game. We could have even, not saying we could have lost. I mean, we could have, of course, we could have lost. Had they scored another goal, everything changes again. So it's so important not to give away stupid goals. And we do. We sometimes hand players goals instead of making them work for it. They didn't work for that goal. They didn't deserve that goal, but we handed it to them. And it's so frustrating. It's typical being an Arsenal supporter. You can't relax, can you? And no time can you relax.
No, absolutely not. And like you say, you know, look at the goals we have conceded this season. We're just giving them to the opposition. And it was something we did a lot last season. We have a real tendency to do it. And at some point, it is going to cost us. I mean, it has already cost us. You've just got to go back to the game against Fulham, for example. So, yeah, I'm in total agreement with you there. Interesting point that we've got in the chat here from BX Gunner 81. Ødegaard, with his back to the ball, was terrible on that corner. I mean, I'm not going to speak specifically about that incident, but his performance as a whole, he certainly didn't have a good game at Stamford Bridge, was phased out of the game, fairly anonymous. I don't think he was as poor last night, but at the same time, I don't think he did anything to make me go, wow, he's, you know, putting in more than a 5 out of 10 performance. I know, obviously, he's gone away with the Norwegian national team, and he's played a lot of football there. Maybe it's just a case of struggling to get back up to speed, but he's one of your key players. He's your captain. Do you think we need to be asking a bit more from him at the minute?
Definitely. I think he needs a rest. There's a couple of others that need a rest. He definitely needs a rest. He runs himself into the ground. He chases the ball. I mean, if you go to the ground, you watch him. He's everywhere. He's the first guy that presses. And we do miss him. And he, you know, if he doesn't press, then the others don't do it themselves. But he's been the last couple of games, and evidently he played for Norway, obviously in the break, and he had a stinker there as well. I didn't see it, but reports were he had a stinker there as well. So he needs a break because he's losing possession. He's losing 50-50s, which he never used to do. He can't. The passing, against Chelsea, for example, I know it was raining and blah, blah, but a couple of times the balls he put through to Jesus, like they're on different planets, the two of them. That's not Ødegaard. So something needs to change. Either he's not fit, 100% fit, or he's just tired, but he needs a break. And we shouldn't ever have a player just because what he's done in the last 20 games, not playing because he has 4 bad games on the trot. If he deserves to have a rest, I'm not going to say drop, have a rest, then we should rest him because we get the better of our players like that. And if we don't rest him now, it'd just go on and on till it might cost us. We've got away with it so far the last couple of games with him the way he's played because he's had 2 poor games. You can't say he's not, but he's had poor, poor games and it shows up. And yes, someone's put in the chat that he misses Partey. He probably does. But at the end of the day, when the ball comes to your feet, and you've got a lot of space and you still mess it up, doesn't matter if Partey's there or not. And that's what I've been seeing.
Yeah, it has been those simple things, hasn't it? And we saw it towards the end of last season. There were a couple of no-look passes into midfield, which I remember, distinctly remember one against Notts Forest away, where it just resulted in a goal. And I think Southampton at home was another one where he just put the ball into no man's land and it resulted in a goal. When he's not playing well, I love Ødegaard. Honestly, yeah, I think he's very close to being world-class. But when he's not at the races, I mean, boy, is he anonymous. Like, not just bad, anonymous in some of the games. And the thing is, we have got options there. We saw Kai Havertz come on in that right eight role. You know, predominantly this season, we've seen him play as the left eight. But arguably, I think he's maybe put in some better performances, particularly for Germany, on that right-hand side of midfield. And I thought he was, again, similarly to how he came on against Chelsea and City, a good option off the bench. So I'm not sure if he'd be in line for a start in that right-hand role against Sheffield United. But again, you've got options there. You've got Havertz, you've got Smith Rowe, you've got Fabio Vieira. I think we can make a change quite comfortably in that position without the level of the team dropping significantly whilst allowing Ødegaard to have that rest. And then if we were to give him maybe a break at the weekend, which I don't think he will do, to be honest, we have also got that game a week from now against West Ham United, right, where you certainly wouldn't expect to see him start in that game. But Just going back to the Sevilla performance, one thing I do want to highlight is just how good we were defensively. I thought, you know, backs to the walls, the addition of Declan Rice has just made seeing out games a hell of a lot more comfortable. I mean, where last season, I think in those sort of pressurized situations, we'd just be waiting for the Sevilla ball to hit the back of the net. Right now, I don't really feel that same sort of anxiety. Don't get me wrong, I do to an extent, but Declan Rice has made it hell of a lot more comfortable in those pressurised situations. But another player that we had to talk about is Takahiro Tomiyasu, who came in for Zinchenko. And I mean, him alongside Gabriel Saliba-White, I just thought they were all rocks at the back. But what did you make of Tomiyasu's performance, Melv?
Thing is, I think people have forgotten how good he is. He had a couple of injuries, and it was like, when he first came to the club, he was outstanding. Had a couple of injuries, and when he got back, he wasn't as good. He obviously wasn't 100%. But now we're seeing Tommy at his best. And he's not just a good tackler, runner. If you've noticed the last couple of games, when he came on against Chelsea and the whole game yesterday, he can play football. When he crosses the halfway line, he doesn't break into a sweat. He actually can do things with the ball. He's got a football brain. Some of the game against, I think it was against Germany recently, when Japan beat them and the German manager lost his job, I think, after that game. He was outstanding. Bits of him floating balls 50 yards from one side to the other, right. And isn't it nice to have a footballer with 2 feet? It's so good. I mean, we don't normally get a lot of that. And even Odegaard, who's phenomenal left foot, he's got phenomenal left foot. He gets himself in a muddle because he doesn't have the confidence all the time to use his right foot. And there's other players like that as well. But I think Tommy's fair. He's strong. He's very, very good in the air. He reads the game well. I think he's, for me, he is our left back. I know that Zinchenko is a wonderful player, but you cannot afford to have Zinchenko playing at left back. I want him in the team. Don't get me wrong. You can't have Zinchenko at left back if the other team have got a right winger that's any good. Sorry, that can't happen. Because this guy just stops them the whole time. When you've got the likes of Tommy and, as you say, Rice in front of him, it's fantastic. It's really fantastic. So, yeah, and also, if I can mention, don't forget me, the other defenders. Gabriel gives 7.5, 8, 8.5 every week, around that time. And people don't even notice it because that's the standard he's set. So when he plays that level every week, we expect it from him. That's how good he is. He's solid. When the ball comes across, who's the one with the head in it to get it away or the foot in to clear it? It's Gabriel again. That's what he does. If I have got a problem, not a problem, there's one thing I want to be critical, which is his attacking from corners. He's brilliant at getting to the ball at corners. He's strong. He gets there, but he doesn't hit the target enough for me. I saw one last night. It was a couple of yards out. He got his head to it. And yeah, he was being challenged, but not enough to put him off to hit the target. But other than that, I think he's a fabulous footballer and he's grown, he's got better, and defenders do get better with experience, and he's definitely done that. And Saliba, I think we make a mistake with him. I think he should play with a dinner suit on, the guy and a white scarf, because the guy is so cool. And have one of those cigarettes for the long holder, because that's the way he plays the game. I'll look at him and go, I don't believe it. I mean, when you get the fans from last night, I think there was a couple of balls that went through and he was neck and neck with the centre forward racing for the ball and they're getting excited. I was saying, don't get excited, lads. Nothing's going to happen. It's Lieber's ball. He's going to turn, go the other way and give it sideways, which he does. He's so calm. He's so good that they gave him the nickname the Rolls Royce. Well, that's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, look, we're not talking about Saliba and Gabriel as much anymore because it's just, like you say, the standards that they've set themselves. Yep. But just looking at those moments from Saliba last night, he does it a lot in games where he is one-on-one racing back to get the ball and then just has the audacity to not just hoof it away, but take it under control and turn and go the other way. And there was one marauding run he made going forward.
Yes,
he has got the pace of a centre-forward. It is ridiculous. He is a huge guy. Very physical, but with such pace, such ability, such technique. He is a Real Madrid centre-half. He is, I still think for me, you know, we're talking about the best centre-half in the league at the minute. But to have a player, going back to my previous point about Tomiyasu, who I think, you know, you are quite fond of potentially being the first choice left back. I mean, I would be inclined to agree with you. It's just a question of, can he stay fit? I think this is a pivotal season for him, because if he proves his fitness, no reason why he can't be a keepsake in this team. But at the same time, you know, there have always been question marks over, is he able to stay fit? I think the most Premier League games he's played for us is 21, and that's really not good enough, if we're being quite honest. But if you just look at him physically, he's so imposing, he's so strong, technically brilliant, defensively fantastic. And like you say, he's got that footballing brain. And I think he's just taken his game to another level this season on all fronts, from an attacking point of view, positional point of view. I mean, last season, I remember we went away to Leeds, and I certainly wouldn't have fancied him playing at left back in that game, and he got run all over the shop. But this season, I think I'd be fairly comfortable with him playing the majority of the games. And then you've got someone like Kivior as well that can play at left back. So despite losing Tierney, which I think a lot of us were upset about, we've actually got options there. And I was going to ask you, Mel, do you think there's a potential scope to play someone like Zinchenko at home to the game we've got coming up on Saturday against Sheffield United, where you expect us to be ball dominant, and then to have someone like Tomiyasu come in for those away games to the likes of City, Chelsea, Spurs, where you're going to need to be a bit more backs against the walls and have an actual defender in there?
Oh, definitely. I think Zinchenko could play. I wouldn't worry about that at all at left back, because they haven't scored many goals this year, Sheffield United. I mean, they've got 1 point, haven't they? So I think against Sheffield United, I wouldn't be any problem at all, Zinchenko, because it's not going to be the nicest of games, isn't it? We're not going to be a five-star game. It's going to be one-way traffic. And he can actually open defences up, Zinchenko, with his little passing and 1-2s, which we'll be doing, I imagine, in the last third of the park most of the game on Saturday. So I haven't got a problem with that at all.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for those games, it's similar to Jorginho in a way. I think where we're going to be ball dominant and have a lot of possession, you can play these possession based players that, you know, are going to find the openings, going to, you know, create overloads. It's just in those big away games. I think Jorginho was one that I had concerns about against Chelsea, but then he shut me up with a great performance last night. It's good to have these options, I think, for different game states, for different, you know, levels of opposition that we're coming up against. But one player that, you know, I've already touched on briefly, but I have to wax lyrical about again, who set his own standard that I think we're so used to, is Declan Rice. Vieira-esque last night, it has to be said. That run he made going forward, which, you know, I'd love to have resulted in a goal, but he's just everywhere, isn't he? Defensively, attackingly. For me, he's definitely, you know, moving further up and up the pitch. And I think it's interesting that Arteta may see it that way now as well, considering that he's, even in the absence of Partey, still wanting to play Jorginho deeper and move Rice higher up the pitch, whereas previously it was Rice deeper with Havertz and Odegaard, or Vieira and Odegaard as the two left eights. But now he wants to see Rice influencing the game in the final third. And he's just so good, isn't he?
He's wonderful. I mean, he looks like a robot, doesn't he? The way he runs and the way he moves. It's not like an ordinary human being. He's very upright when he sprints. In fact, you can't actually tell if he's sprinting or just jogging, because it seems the same all the time. Most people, when they sprint, they get down and they're all, no, just straight. And he goes from second to third gear so brilliantly. And also, for a midfield player, he just doesn't get booked, and he makes crunching tackles. That's amazing. I mean, Vieira used to make crunching tackles and he got booked and sent off. But this guy, I'm not comparing the two because, you know, at the moment, in my eye, Vieira was world class. This guy could be world class, right? I'm not comparing the two yet. But they both have a stature on that park. They're both, when you kick off against Arsenal, you're looking at him, if you're the oppo, you've got to beat him. And it must have a difference to the other team. Make a mental difference. His ball control, his winning of the fifth of all the tackles, and he's got this fabulous way of being in the right place at the right time. He can smell danger. All of a sudden, he'll be there. It's so good, very very good. So I can't, you know, I can't talk highly about him. And I said it before, we paid a lot of money for him, but if we wait another 12 months. Who says the fee wouldn't have been 150, 200 with what's going on in football now? So I think it was the only chance we had of getting him. I'm so glad we did.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, James, who is unfortunately very unwell with kidney stones at the minute, wishing you all the best, mate. It's made 105 million quid look like a bargain. And he couldn't be more spot on. I honestly feel like if, you know, we were to, God forbid, sell him in the January transfer window, we'd make a comfortable profit on him. That's how good he's been. And it's, I think it was always going to be interesting with Rice, because coming from West Ham, who are so backs to the walls and play such a different brand of football to what we're accustomed to at Arsenal, would he slot in seamlessly? Is it something that could take a certain amount of time? No, he has just gone like a duck to water. Not a single bad performance since. Going back to the game against Chelsea, he ran that midfield on his own because Jorginho was phased out of the game. Odegaard was phased out of the game. And he just shows that he is, I think he's there. I think he is on that world-class level. And I hope he grows with this team and we win something whilst we've got someone like him of his calibre in the side alongside the likes of Martinelli, Bukayo Saka.
What he must do, James, is get someone next to him, though. You can't ask him week in and week out to do it by himself. You know, if one of the players aren't playing well, like a Jorginho or Odegaard, if they're not both up for it, it cannot be right for him to play by himself every week, because everyone's got an engine and engines can only go so far. We've got to get someone on his level next to him, or near his level next to him.
Yeah, and you could argue we have got that guy in the squad in the name of Thomas Partey, who unfortunately didn't make the game with a muscular injury. I mean, look, I'm of the opinion, Melv, that we should be looking for a long-term number six in the summer. But whilst we have got Thomas Partey at the club, whilst he's still putting in great performances when he is fit, I don't think that needs to be a huge concern. But given his injuries, given, you know, that he's getting on, he's 30 plus now, we've got to look at, you know, someone that can just be that destroyer in midfield to allow Declan Rice to play that bit further up the pitch as he has done in the most recent games. But, I mean, we haven't really spoken about this, but Partey, you know, not travelling with the squad after being involved against City, going away with Garner, being on the bench against Chelsea, with a muscular issue. I mean, it's so frustrating, isn't it? Because I hate to say it, we just can't rely on him, can we?
We can't rely on him, but how frustrating that, how good is he when he plays for us? Those the way he moves his body, he turns the play, he's one touch, his awareness. He makes, someone said that Odegaard missed Partey. Well, I think the whole team misses Partey. He makes everybody play better. You know, he brings everybody into the game and he makes us tick. And it's such a shame if he was playing another, you know, 30% more games, we'd be so much better off. He's such a good player. And we might have to, the management might have to make a decision at some stage.
Yeah, and I think if we could just see that midfield three of Rice, Partey, Odegaard, I would be elated, even if we just saw it for a portion of the season, because that, for me, I don't think I'm overreacting when I say that's probably the best midfield on paper in the league. If they were all to be fit, all to play consistently, I think we're talking about a midfield for the ages. But whilst he's got these injury problems, I said it before, but I really think we need to invest in a long-term number six to be that guy to allow Declan Rice to go forward and be that guy that will influence his play in the final third. But just before we go on to talking about the game against Sheffield United on the weekend, which I've got to say I'm really looking forward to, there is one player that, you know, I hate to bring up, and I think there were question marks over him last night. I think you know who it's going to be. David Raya was a little bit, I don't want to say shaky. There were some moments where he did very well, but there were, again, those question marks where there was one instance where he passed the ball directly into a Sevilla player. There was that punch at the end, which really could have gone anywhere. For me, Melv, I have got nothing against David Raya, nothing against him at all. But for me, I'm not seeing enough improvements in the team as a whole to justify him usurping Aaron Ramsdale and being kind of the nailed on number one. And if this was going to be a meritocracy, I would have liked to have seen Ramsdale get more games. Whereas for me, it just feels like Raya is the number one now. And I'll be honest, I'm not happy with that.
No, I'm not either. I thought that after his display against Chelsea, there was a perfect opportunity for the manager to swap keepers. It's another competition. That's he could have made that excuse. Doesn't have to make excuse for anybody, but people can, when he makes that change, can think to themselves they've probably done it because it's another opportunity to play one goalkeeper in the league, another in the Cup winner, the Europa League, do it like that, but to Champions League. But he didn't. And now he's under more pressure what he does against Sheffield United. Does he keep him in again? Because as you said, he does okay. I think his handling is better than Ramsdale's, to be honest, especially in the air. He commands it a little bit better in the air. When that ball comes in, he catches it with both hands and there's less punching. But he has periods where he just goes, it seems like he's panicking. And that punch last night, I couldn't see where it was going. I had to have a double take. And also, if you remember in the first half, he did a similar ball that set the other team up, like he did against Lons when they scored their first goal. He did that looping kick to the touchline, hit it far too short. The left back took it on his chest, went forward, and Lund scored the goal through that. And last night, luckily, they didn't. I mean, they would have had to do a lot to score a goal, but he gave them the opportunity when we had the ball. All of a sudden, we're on the defensive and we've got our backs against the wall. So he's not doing it at the moment. And if you're looking at performances, I believe that really Ramsdale should get the nod now, because it's only fair, isn't it? You play your best goalkeeper. And at the moment, he hasn't done it. Yeah, he's done a couple of things good. I mean, yeah, good luck to him. But he hasn't performed to the level. And I've been with Ramsdale. He's also made mistakes, but they seem far less. And it was magnified more with Ramsdale, because he was having such a good run that when he did some silly things like home to Southampton last year and a couple of other situations, which he got away with, so we don't actually talk about it, it wasn't that many. This guy seems to have Constantined it in a very short time. So I think give Ramsdale, I'd like to see Ramsdale play against his old club as well on Saturday. And that way, let's see how Ramsdale performs. Let's see how he reacts. He's been dropped, let's face it. He's been given the elbow by the manager. Let's see how he reacts. I think he's going to react very well. I think he's that type of guy. So hopefully the manager, I don't think he will, but that's what I'd like to see.
I have to say, I'd be really hacked off if I was Ramsdale at the minute, particularly in the circumstances regarding his personal life, because, I mean, he's gone to Sevilla, you know, probably in the dark about whether he's going to play the game or not. But given that he did play on the bench, start on the bench, should I say, he's probably thinking to himself, well, I could have, you know, spent a few more days at home with my newborn. So from a personal point of view, I can imagine he's, as each game goes by, getting more frustrated by the situation. But, you know, bottom of the league at home, I think this is the perfect game to bring him in for. And like you say, I mean, Reyes seems to be making a quite costly error every game at the minute. I say costly, I mean, it didn't cost us last night, but there are still these moments where you feel a better team would score in those situations. I mean, the one that sticks out to me in the game against Chelsea is when he just passed the ball straight into Cole Palmer's path, and they should have scored.
3-0 that would have been, James. Yeah. 3-0, game over.
Exactly, yeah. And that's my worry, because in those very fine margins, if that happens, you know, like we say, the game is Chelsea, unbeaten run is done, you know, and we've lost out on a very important point there. So it's those moments that do worry me. And I don't think that Ramsdale is, you know, error prone enough to justify this prolonged period on the bench. I personally don't think he will start on Saturday, which I hate to say, because I think he deserves it. But I think the game he will start is the one against West Ham United in the Carabao Cup. But Ramsdale is too good to be a Carabao Cup keeper.
Exactly.
He's way too good. Like, he would start for so many teams in the Premier League. So many teams. He is that good of a goalkeeper. And okay, Reyes' numbers, I think from a passing point of view, might be better. But Ramsdale's younger. He's still developing. And I just don't think it's fair in a you know, brutal sense. I really don't think it's fair on him to just be usurped so quickly and just not to have a sniff, really, in the first team. One game he's played since David Reyes come in, it's just not enough for a player of his quality. But look, I don't want to stay on the topic for too long, because I know it's quite dominating at the minute. We do have a very exciting game coming up at the weekend against Sheffield United. Bottom of the league, 1 point, worst goal difference in the league, most goals conceded in the league. I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I've said all that, but I mean, they made it difficult for Manchester City at Bramall Lane. They then got pummeled 8-0 by Newcastle. I'm not too sure what to expect from Sheffield United. I do expect us to win this game. I think it'd be wrong to expect any other outcome. But how are you feeling going into this one, mate?
You said exciting, James. Can I? Is that an inverted commas? Exciting. I don't know a bit about exciting, but let's hope we win. But how do I think? I think they left probably 12 men behind the ball. They play with that most of the game. Listen, they're going to come for a point of damage limitation, aren't they? And it's up to us to find a way through them. You know, again, when it comes to concentration, you've got to concentrate for the whole time. So when they have a breakaway, which they will do, every team gets a breakaway, we've got to be on it. If we do that and we play the ball fast and not this tip-tappy at the back into midfield, go for them, pretend it's the last 5 minutes. We should, listen, they've got 1 point. We should be all right. And there should be no excuses. Even the referees shouldn't be able to mess us up this week. We should be okay to put this to bed and hopefully before half-time. But I saw them play against Spurs, you know, and they nearly nicked it. I mean, up to the 90th minute, they only had another 15 minutes to hold on. So, but I mean, it would have been a travesty of justice because Spurs had 99% of the play. And it'd be like that for us. And they did get a goal. Well, that's the problem. So you've got to be wary of that. But we should be okay, shouldn't we? They've got one of our old players playing. Trusty plays from, doesn't he? He's never obviously played for the first team, but he's taking his chance there. Good luck to him, apart from Saturday, obviously. And the rest of the team, I know the guys, some of them, we've played them in the league before recently, haven't we? I remember Fleck, he's played against us, and the something or other, was his name?
McBurney.
McBurney. McBurney. He's all over the place, isn't he, McBurney? His arms and he doesn't score a lot of goals. Even in the lower division, I don't think he scored that many, but he's all over the place. And he's a handful, but he shouldn't get the ball, should he? We should stop him getting the ball, in all fairness, apart from the goal kicks or whatever. So, yeah, we should win this. We should, hopefully, by the second or well before the second half starts, we should be just relaxing. But it's never like that with Arsenal, though, when you think it should be.
No, it certainly isn't. But going into this game, you know, bottom of the league at home, we've obviously got the Carabao Cup coming up afterwards, and you'd expect us to rotate for that game. But then I've got one eye on that game at St James's Park against Newcastle, where you know you want your big boys fit and firing. I don't think you should necessarily rotate drastically for a Premier League game, but if there ever was a Premier League game at home that you feel you could maybe switch things out a little bit for, would you be looking to make a few changes going into this one?
I definitely would. I tell you, I'd rest, to be quite nice to him, is Saka, because he needs a rest. Let's face it, he hasn't been doing it recently. I know he's got a fantastic cross against Liverpool, but he wasn't having a great game, especially first half against Liverpool. And last night, again, he wasn't at his best. We know he can do so much more, and that's no fault of his own. It's the way it is. He looks tired, and he seems to have lost a little bit of confidence. And that last pass, a few times it's happened now, when he needs to play someone in, he doesn't seem to see them and he makes the wrong decision. But that's going to change. We know that. So I'd give him a rest with, you know, possibly bringing in Trossard. I'd bring in Smith Rowe for Mr. Odegaard. He needs a rest. I think that will be enough for me. And one other I might do is play Kiwar on the back somewhere. Give one of the defenders a rest. So that's what I would do against Sheffield United.
Yeah, I really like Kivior. I thought he was excellent in the Carabao Cup game away at Brentford, and obviously opportunities have been very limited for him this season. I'm sure he'll start against West Ham United, but I mean, he's been excellent, I think, in the times he has played, and he has been very good for Poland as well when he's gone on international duty. Yeah. So it'd be interesting, and I think this is definitely the sort of game he could come in for, and I think people are quick to forget, you know, how good he was at the end of last season as well. So, yeah, good shout. I'd definitely be interested in that one. Got a comment here saying that this would be the perfect game for Kai Havertz to get an open play goal. I mean, Havertz has come off the bench in the past couple of games, and I think been a really good option off the bench, but obviously, you know, you can't have a 60 million quid player coming off the bench every game. Do you think he's in line to start this one? And if so, where would he play for you?
I would play him up front, centre forward, because they're a big team, Sheffield United, and if the ball goes in the air, you might as well turn around and walk away because we're not going to get it. So you need someone like that to put a bit of pressure on their centre halves. So I would play him if need be, especially if Jesus is not 100%. I would put him in instead of Eddie, because just as a footnote, Eddie last night wasn't his best game. Let's be even a cameo role, wasn't his best cameo. In the time he came on, he made three fouls. He got into a mess with Trossard. The pair of them didn't know who left the ball for each other. And also, he had a chance right at the end where the ball came down the left-hand side. He got the ball, got control, and didn't know how or had to have the speed or the confidence or the strength to get past that one defender. I know it's on the touchline, so you haven't got a lot of room, but he never looked like he was going to do it. It looked like he pushed the ball forward. It looked like it was a race, a 50-50, and he just couldn't do it. He had one of those games where, thank God, he was only on for 15 minutes, put it that way.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Mbeddy. I completely echo what you're saying there. I was really disappointed when he came. I just thought he looks really lightweight, which is a shame because I think, you know, one of the attributes he's added to his game this season is actually holding up the ball, looking that little bit stronger. But I just thought he looked very out of place. And I don't think he was necessarily bad when he came on against Chelsea. I mean, that chance that he had where he put it just wide of the post on his weak foot wasn't an easy opportunity. But do you, not necessarily worry, but do you feel that he's maybe getting slightly phased out of the first team slightly, because he's not, again, one of these players that you can necessarily rely on in those big matches? But you say that, you know, he started the game against City, wasn't awful in that game. I'm probably reading into it too much, but I think, you know, you might share the opinion that I do, that we do need a better alternative centre forward option than Eddie Nketiah.
100%. Let's face it, I believe he's reached the ceiling now. We've seen the best of him. He's only 24, but I think because of the type of player he is and what I've seen, I think we've seen the ceiling with him. I don't think he's going to get any better now. He'll have his good games, he'll score his great goals and he'll be fantastic, but over a period of time he's not going to be good enough for us, and I think we wake up soon to that.
Yeah, that's the issue, isn't it, with Eddie? I mean, he'll come in for 2, 3, 4 games and he might get a couple of goals and look really good, but then, you know, you play him for any longer than 5 games and it just feels like he's just not up to scratch, which is a real shame because I do love Eddie. I think he's got a lot to give, but maybe just not at Arsenal. You feel like if he was at a mid-table club where he's going to, you know, be playing on the turn a bit more, he could get himself a load of goals. But look, that's not to disrespect Eddie. Had some very good games for Arsenal. Yeah. Fingers crossed he's still able to do some very good things for us this season. Still a player I really admire, and I've always got time for the HLN boys. But just before we wrap up, mate, been great having you on the show. But what is your score prediction going into the game on Saturday?
3-0.
3-0. Lovely stuff. And just remind me of your full team lineup.
What I want or what I think is going to play.
Let's go with what you want. Let's make it fun.
Right, I'll have it Ramsdale in goal. I'll have White at right back. Saliba. I'll have centre half with him and Tommy. Midfield, I'd have Jorginho, Rice and Emil Smith Rowe. Up front, I'd have Martinelli. I'd have Trossard. And I'd have Karl Havertz. If Jesus is not 100%. I might even have Kai Havertz coming on playing anyway if Jesus is fit, and playing Jesus on wide instead of Trossard, if that's the case.
Lovely stuff. And I think, you know, that would be an exciting team. And to see Smith Rowe in there, I mean, I would love that. Yeah, I mean, I know he's been very limited to opportunities, but Sheffield United at home, I mean, I'd love that. And I think he will start against West Ham. But just to see him get some more minutes, I mean, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Very, very nice. But Mel, thank you for coming on this afternoon. I appreciate I've been a little bit up in the air with regards to timing. So thank you for joining me at short notice. Where can people find you, mate?
Mostly on Twitter, on Melvin, as it says there. The only way is Arsenal Marks. I'm on Twitter. Too much, actually. I'm on Twitter, as you'll find out if you ever look at what I say. But no, I'm on that. Thank you very, very much. Really enjoyed coming on. Leaves the evening free now, doesn't it, eh?
It absolutely does. And that was at the forefront of my thinking. So
I can go down to disco now, put my white suit on, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you'll be like Saliba in the middle of the park, mate. That's what we all want to see. But yeah, thank you, Melv, ever so much for coming on. Thank you for everyone in the chat room, everyone that's listening back on audio, everyone that's tuned in on YouTube. Appreciate this is certainly an out of the ordinary time. But yeah, wishing you all well. Great result last night. Hopefully another big result to come on the weekend. Up the Arsenal. See you all later, guys.
Come on. Bye-bye.
Social Podcast Network.